Well, welcome everybody to the third of this series of AHRC funded archiving workshops. I'm very pleased to welcome our speakers today, Daniel Velasco Rogers, who's going to talk to us first, Jem Finer, who's going to follow Dan, and then after lunch, Stuart Brisley and Jeff Cox, of course. Many of you already know Jeff, because he's been attending all of the archive workshops as part of the core group. I'm also very pleased to welcome Martha Wilson today, who's going to be talking this evening at our meeting. It's 6:30 in the auditorium, and I'm hoping many of you will be able to come and hear her talk. I'm Julian Morris, and I'm on the reserve part of this. I'm co-organiser with Michelle of this workshop series.
I'm Michelle Henning from the University of West London.
I'm Yvonne Buchheim, and I'm working on an art project called the Song Archive Project, and I teach drawing in uni.
I'm Helen Kennedy, I'm
Helen Davis, and I'm part of the education team here at Arnold Fleming.
I'm Jeff Cox, and I'll hear from you later.
I'm Stuart Brisley, and I work with Jeff.
I'm Martha Wilson, founding director of Franklin Furnace in New York.
I'm Paul Clark, and I'm working with Simon Jones on a project called Performing the Archive, the Future of the Past, between Arnold Fleming Live and University of Bristol Theatre Collection.
I'm Jem Finer, and I'll be talking to you shortly.
I'm Marcia Farquhar, I'm an artist, I was taught by Stuart and married to Jem, I'm a wag as well. I'm invited here by Jem.
I'm Camina Watson, and I'm an audience member and also a photographer and worker with documentation. I'm Candy Franco, I'm representing Evan Chambers and can't be there. I'm working on the expert artist.
I'm Bex Carrington, and I keep with the Library Archives and the Theatre Collection at Drama Park University.
I'm Di Steeds, and I'm here as a member of Arnold Fleming Audience.
I'm Matt Hain, and I work at Locus Plus, the Locus Plus Archive in New Spring Time, and also a PhD student.
Hi, I'm Simon Jones. I'm head of subject at Drama Department at the University of Bristol, and also, as Paul mentioned, working on the Performing the Archive, and also principal investigator on the digitisation project for the National Review of Live Art Archives, which is also at the Drama Department.
Hi, I'm Kevin Evans. I'm an Arnold Fleming audience member as well.
And I'm Daniel Velasco Rogers, and I'm going to be talking now.
Just a minute.
In a minute.
before Daniel talks, we wanted to kind of briefly... Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
We wanted to kind of briefly give you an idea of why we chose this as a theme for the workshop, why it interested us, in a way, and why we invited the speakers we have. So I wanted to talk briefly about one starting point that interests me, which is to do with modernism, and the way that modernism in the arts kind of presented a particular challenge to archives and particularly to museums. And then the famous kind of story of art's difficult relationship to museums starts with this idea that art objects once supposedly had their place in society, their social context, and the museum detached them from that, separating them from experience and kind of placing them in a collection. And modernism's famous response was to attack the museum, and the futurist Marinetti famously said, "Museums, cemeteries, identical surely in the sinister proximity of so many bodies unknown to one another." There's been a lot written recently in anthropology and sociology about the idea of the social lives of things. And what this means is not just thinking of objects as static, but as things that move through society in exchanges between people and so on. So if the objects in museums and archives have social lives or social deaths, then for Marinetti it's a kind of uneasy form of sociability, hanging out with incompatible strangers. But there's another way in which we could think about objects or documents that exist in an archive as having lives, and that's to do with their inbuilt temporality. So all objects are time bombs of one sort or another. Everything degrades, everything decays, or at least undergoes some kind of physical transformation over the course of time. Nothing stands still. So arguably one of the first ways in which art strove to confound its museumification was through changing materials. So where tempera on board or oil paint on canvas had a longevity of centuries built in, synthetic cubism introduced the newspaper into the painting. So what could possibly date more quickly than a newspaper? What can date more quickly than news, which is out of date the next day? The newspaper also yellows with surprising rapidity, so that if Picasso and Braque made these paintings before the First World War, by the end of the First World War, they were already a completely different colour than they had started out. So even if a painting isn't the same from one day to the next. So modernism's rejection of museum or archival culture is only a rejection if we believe that museums and archives are places where nothing happens, where time stops. But even in the cemetery, if things don't live exactly, their lives somehow still go on in the sense that I'm talking about. Julian was going to elaborate.
Yeah, just default position is to think of archives, to think of keeping things in perpetuity. Cheryl used the word stasis in the email that she sent planned. But of course, materials in the archive don't. I've got some examples here. You see how the rust from paper clips is eating into the paper. This is from Arnolfini's archives. This is some very paper from 1980, already it's kind of changing the rust. There's magnetic tapes from pneumatic videotapes, which are only 30 years old, and the chemicals, the chemical layers on that magnetic tape are becoming detached, and you can no longer view that kind of documentation. The acid from plastic wallets is pulling it ink off paper, so we're kind of losing all these records all the time. And in the last sort of 50 years, that process is really starting to speed up. Our physical materials in the archive are on the move and changing and altering. And of course, now the digital files, they become obsolescent very quickly as software becomes outmoded. So our records of the archive can be made more and more vulnerable than they were before. And of course, as documents come out and all new audience engaging with them as well, they change in time that way. We have different relationships become set up. So in that sense, we might think of archives as performing. It's involved in some kind of durational performance. And I'm really interested today to hear the speakers talk, to see what bearing that might have on my own thinking as an archivist. I'm charged with trying to keep these objects in perpetuity.